live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going
to
get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You know what time it is. It is Thursday, February 21st. 1 p.m., and that means it's time for Current Sports, coming to you live right now on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. How about those Spartans last night, right? It was not easy for the Michigan State men's basketball team, but in that second half, Michigan State found a way, and Cassius Winston was simply amazing. And he is showing you why he is a Big Ten Player of the Year candidate and showing you why he is the straw really that stirs this drink for MSU. So Michigan State pulls out the win over Rutgers last night. We will bring to you guys locker room interviews from Cassius Winston. You'll also get a chance to hear from the player who stepped up in the absence of Nick Ward, and he'll have to continue to do that because Ward will be out for at least 3 weeks, as we all know, with that hairline fracture. And he's the guy I chose to really step up here, and he really proved to be that guy in that second half. A rocky start for Xavier Tilton, but he really brought it in the second half. You'll also get a chance to, of course, hear from head coach of the Spartans, Tom Izzo. He'll talk about what he told the team at halftime, and he will voice his frustrations with how his team has started multiple games throughout this year. And we will also have yet another injury update for MSU. Not great, and we don't know the extent of this injury, and it's been a reoccurring one for one said player. You'll find out who that player is in just a moment, all right? You'll also get our thoughts, brief thoughts. We'll dive more into this when we preview this heavyweight matchup in the Big Ten, this in-state rivalry. We'll dive more into it, of course, on tomorrow's Current Sports, but we will, of course, briefly touch on the Michigan State and Michigan Big Ten game that will take place on Sunday at the Chrysler Center. That tip time taking place a little after 3 p.m., and Michigan, before we get ahead of ourselves, Michigan does have a game tonight because right now Michigan State does hold a half-game lead above Michigan in the rest of the pack. Michigan State holding down the lone number one spot right now. But if Michigan, of course, wins, it will be tied again after Michigan takes on, I believe it's Minnesota tonight. So we'll see what takes place tonight for the Wolverines, but we'll briefly touch on the implications of the big in-state rivalry matchup between Michigan State and Michigan. We will also join to the show live here in studio Kyle Turk of Impact Sports, also Current Sports intern. He was in the house that is the Breslin Center last night helping me out with coverage. We'll get the takes of Kyle as well. And then we've got an interesting discussion to have here on Current Sports because literally, as the post-game press conference was taking place last night at the Breslin Center, we were waiting on Tom Izzo to take the podium and listen to his thoughts and fire some questions at him. And while doing so, in the Breslin Center media room, there's multiple TVs in there. And one of those televisions, of course, began to display the beginning of the Duke and North Carolina heavyweight bout. It is one of the most entertaining rivalries in all of sports, not just college basketball. And as many of you know by now, there was something really unfortunate that took place about like 40 or so seconds into the game. Zion Williamson got hurt. And he got hurt in one of the weirdest ways you'll ever see in the world of sports. And we really need to have two conversations that I'll dive into once we cross that bridge later on this hour, okay? And then we'll, of course, put a bow on this Thursday edition of Current Sports as we try to customarily do, bringing to you Throwback Thursday, where we hop into our Current Sports time machine to take a look at exactly what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history, okay? So, a lot to get to. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Right, and of course we start with the Michigan State men's basketball game against Rutgers last night as MSU, number 10 in the country, used a huge second half to run top fellow Big Ten opponent, Rutgers, 71-60 last night as the Spartans improved to 22-5 overall, 13-3 in the Big Ten. Rutgers fell to 12-14, 5-11 in the conference. Junior guard Cassius Winston led the team with 28 points on the night. That's, again, is one shy of his career high of 29, a mark that he met against Nebraska earlier this season. He also handed out 8 assists. Sophomore forward Xavier Tillman, X-Men, he took the role of the injured Nick Ward with a strong performance, finishing with a double-double, 19 points, a career high for him. Also had 10 boards, so a double-double for him. We could even see head coach Tom Izzo fired up and showing some emotion after Matt McQuaid hit a right corner three to tie the game up after the Spartans were down by as much as 11 early in the start of the second half. That was quite the sequence, right? Wasn't it? I mean, Michigan State had about 4 offensive rebounds. Credit to Aaron Henry on that sequence as well, because I believe he grabbed like 2 or 3 of those offensive boards. All right, so Michigan State now heads to Ann Arbor in one of the most anticipated matchups of the season in college basketball as the Spartans will take on number 7 Michigan. Michigan sitting at 12-3 in the Big Ten, 23-3 overall, and the only remaining undefeated home team in the Big Ten at a 16-0 clip. But the Michigan Wolverines have to take care of business tonight to keep the flair of this Spartans and Wolverines clash on Sunday, as Michigan will travel to Minneapolis tonight to take on the Golden Gophers of Minnesota. Now, the Gophers gave the Wolverines all they could handle in their last matchup in Ann Arbor, and the Wolverines needing a Charles Matthews buzzer beater to get the win and avoid overtime. The stakes are high for both teams. Again, Michigan sits a half game behind MSU atop the Big Ten standings. Minnesota is squarely on the bubble as it looks to earn a possible tourney bid. Tip time for tonight, 7 p.m. on ESPN. And just a story that I couldn't believe reading this morning on a more serious matter. Syracuse head men's basketball coach Jim Boeheim was sadly involved in a fatal car accident last night on the interstate highway in Syracuse, New York, that killed a pedestrian. This news broke early this morning. The pedestrian, Jorge Jimenez, 51 years old, he was outside a car on Interstate 690 before his car hit the guardrail and came to rest in the middle of the road due to extreme weather conditions after Jimenez exited the vehicle in the middle of the highway. There, Boeheim attempted to avoid the vehicle, but ultimately struck Jimenez. And shortly after, the police arrived to the scene. Field sobriety and alcohol sensor tests were performed on Boeheim and the driver of the other vehicle and came back negative, police noted in a statement. And so I want to go behind the glass real quick because Alec Rio, you actually sent me this story this morning, just, I kid you not, like minutes after I had read it. When it comes to exactly what happened, what happened? So this man was on the side of the road and Boeheim lost control of his vehicle and hit the guardrail. I'm trying to picture this.
Yeah, from what I've seen, that's what they mentioned in the article.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy stuff. I don't know how. I wouldn't be surprised if Jim Boeheim took off at least the next two or three games here. I don't know how you go back to your job after something tragic like this happens. Boeheim did release a statement saying, quote, "I am heartbroken that a member of our community died as the result of last night's accident. Boeheim's wife, Julie, and I extend our deepest sympathies to the Jimenez family. Out of respect for those involved, I will not be providing further comment at this time," end quote. Just, you just don't know, folks. I mean, I appreciate every single day that you are alive and living on this beautiful planet Earth. Just crazy stuff. Okay, to less important matters. The Michigan State women's basketball team will be in action tonight against Ohio State, returning to the friendly confines of the Breslin Center to open a three-game homestand. Ohio State tonight, Michigan State women's basketball sits at 17-8 overall, 7-7 in the Big Ten Conference. With 13 points on Sunday against Nebraska, senior center Jenna Allen became the 27th player in Spartan history to reach the 1K mark in points, 1,000 career points for Jenna Allen. She now has 1,007 career points in her 4 years here at Michigan State. In the first meeting, Ohio State defeated the Spartans 65-55. The Spartans are undefeated at the Breslin, 13-0 this year, have a 16-game home win streak dating back to last year. And MSU continues to have the best home record in the Big Ten for overall games at 13-0, tied with Iowa at 6-0 for the best home mark in the Big Ten for conference games. So good luck to Susie Merchant and her troops tonight. The Michigan State softball team heads to Phoenix, Arizona to participate in the Purple Classic at Grand Canyon University. The Spartans at 3-6 on the early part of the season will face Boise State, North Dakota, and a doubleheader with Yale this weekend. Spartans struggled this past weekend in the ACC Big Ten Challenge in Atlanta as they opened the tournament with a tough 10-inning loss to Boston College, in which the Spartans surrendered 17 base hits and committed 7 fielding errors. The Detroit Red Wings, I go behind the glass as Alec Rio has an update on what took place concerning the winged wheel last night. Alec.
Yeah, so the Detroit Red Wings fell to the Chicago Blackhawks in overtime last night, 5-4. And Dylan Larkin and Andreas Athanasiou each scored twice as the Wings fought back from a 4-1 deficit. Anthony Mantha had 4 assists. And the Wings will now take on the Minnesota Wild tonight at LCA, or tomorrow night at LCA at 7:30 p.m. Catch that action on Fox Sports Detroit.
All right. Also, the Detroit Tigers, this news has been coming through since this morning. The Tigers have agreed to a 1-year, $2 million deal with veteran infielder Josh Harrison, according to The Athletic. Harrison is a 2-time All-Star. He became a free agent when the Pittsburgh Pirates declined his $10.5 million option on his contract back in November. Also, the New York Knicks announced yesterday that they have signed forward Henry Ellenson to a 10-day contract. Ellenson was originally selected by the Detroit Pistons with the 18th overall pick in the 2016 NBA draft following one season at Marquette University. And also, Le'Veon Bell, officially a free agent after the Pittsburgh Steelers have declined to use the franchise tag on the All-Pro running back Bell, who turned 27 on Monday. He declined to sign his franchise tender last year, leaving $14.5 million on the table and sitting out the entire season. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Phone lines are now open. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to dial. I want to get your thoughts on Michigan State men's basketball. What are your impressions of this team after last night's comeback victory over Rutgers? And what do you say about Sunday's in-state rivalry matchup between the Spartans and the Michigan Wolverines? Again, 517-355-WKAR. You can also comment below our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKARnews. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKARnews or tweet me directly at Al Martin. WKAR.
Oh, I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
Winston, first and foremost, is, I'm going to say, one of the best, if not the best point guard in the country. Uses his eyes, uses ball fakes. He gets whatever he wants on the floor.
He really is. There's no surprise. Many of you, just like myself, have been saying it all season. Cassius Winston is the best point guard in the nation. The debate is over. Where would Michigan State be without him? Especially when you put in perspective what has happened for this team, right? Josh Langford out for the year. First game without Nick Ward, he'll be out for at least 3 weeks with that broken hand. Cassius Winston knows. Well, what impresses me the most about Cassius, he knows when to take over. He knows the situation. He has the perfect balance between scoring and getting his teammates involved. He had 9 points at halftime. Not a great shooting performance in that first half. And then in the second half, he was brilliant. He finishes with 28. He handed out 8 assists, as I mentioned. Also had even 5 boards. Just 3 turnovers for him. That's big-time basketball, folks. And without Cassius Winston and that performance last night, Michigan State would have lost. What really surprised me, and Rutgers just did not make the adjustment last night. It was pretty simple what Michigan State planned to do. I mean, the game plan was rather simple, and Rutgers did not make the adjustment to try and stop it. But all Cassius Winston did was wait for a pick, come off the pick, and drive the lane. It was the simple pick-and-roll offense that that allow Cassius to dominate that game, scoring or finding Xavier Tillman down low. That's what the second half was. And you could hear the announcers, too, on the Big Ten Network just constantly bringing it up. I mean, why won't Rutgers stymie the pick and roll? They kept giving the driving lane to Cassius Winston, and he took advantage of it. This is the kind of game that Michigan State needed because, let's be real, I am sure that there were a ton of Spartan fans at halftime that were incredibly nervous and even thought to themselves, Michigan State is going to lose this game. Because Michigan State looked totally dead in the water in that first half. And Rutgers looked so confident. I just go to the play when Peter Kiss hit that three-pointer just over the reach of Matt McQuaid. And the camera showed Peter Kiss coming down the court, talking mad trash to the face of Matt McQuaid. Now, Matt McQuaid did bark back, but you had Peter Kiss knocking down that three, talking some trash to Michigan State among the Big Ten leaders. Michigan State, a top 10 program, Rutgers was feeling it in that first half. And when it comes to bad teams, if you let them linger around throughout the majority of that game, they do have a chance to beat you. And it almost happened last night. If it was not for that second half performance spearheaded by Cassius Winston, Michigan State would have lost, but they didn't. And now we can turn the page and look forward to this rivalry clash between Michigan State and Michigan. This will be a battle for supremacy in the Big Ten Conference. Joining me in this conversation, for those watching the Facebook live stream, you see him directly to my 2 o'clock, Kyle Turk of Impact Sports, also current sports intern. He was in the house with me last night to cover that Rutgers and Michigan State matchup. He was in the locker room with me as we conducted interviews as well. Kyle, I just want to get your brief thoughts and takeaways from what you saw from Michigan State before we play a few sound bites from our interviews last night. What did you think of that win, that 71-60 win, yet another 11-point or less victory over an opponent for Michigan State?
Well, you hit on a lot of the same stuff with stuff about Cassius. I mean, best player probably in the Big Ten at this point. A lot of people have looked at how Ethan Happ was taken out of the last couple minutes of a recent game for Wisconsin. I think Carson Edwards had an off night a couple nights ago. But it's really been, I think, in the making since January. People should have been on this train a long time ago, best player in the conference. Mm-hmm. What really stood out for me last night, Xavier Tillman. Mm-hmm. Now, he's productive when he comes off the bench. He does his 20 minutes a game. Nick Ward doesn't play, you know, the typical starter's minutes. And without him on the court, it's even more that's got to be swallowed up by guys like Thomas Kithier, guys like Marcus Bingham, and even Tillman. Tillman played 33 minutes last night.
Yeah.
But really, that second half just was playing so well with Winston on that ball screen offense, able to get to the rim, able to finish. He doesn't quite have that same post game, I think, that Ward does, but get him going towards the basket, he's deadly on the inside.
Xavier Tillman has been really great all year for you know, when looking at his game, he has played, but this is the thing. This was, of course, a different kind of game for him because I think Xavier Tillman, when evaluating his production throughout the year, he has been the beneficiary offensively of a lot of attention focused on Nick Ward. When Nick Ward and Xavier Tillman are out there on the court together, the primary objective for the defense is to stop Nick Ward. That has allowed Xavier Tillman in multiple games this season to be freed up a bit, not incredible defense in his face, and he's throwing in layups because of it. This game last night, he was the guy. He was now moving into that starting role. He struggled at first. That was not a great first half for Michigan State all around, specifically for Xavier Tillman, because he missed some bunnies. I mean, there were multiple good looks for Michigan State, and I counted about three just layups. If you just lay it up, Xavier, that's 2 points, and he just missed it. I don't know what happened at halftime. Izzo, and we heard it in the postgame press conference, Tom Izzo noted that I have been chewing my guys out at halftime, and they have responded. They have really responded, but it shouldn't have to take a halftime speech reaming to get Michigan State mentally in tune with what they need to be doing in order to win over a team
like Rutgers. So I want to throw to a few sound bites before you continue this conversation. I want to start with Tom Izzo on what he had to say concerning Cassius Winston and his stellar play throughout this year, especially last night.
The problem is I need him for 40 minutes, and it's not humanly possible. So, but when he's, you know, when he's guarding, and give Steve credit, they put him in that running, they call it runner back and forth, just to wear him down, you know, and we couldn't get him out of that. And I guarantee you he's going to sleep good tonight, because he did play better defensively the second half. He did push the ball. We put him in more ball screens. But we got to play better, too, and we will play better. I really believe we needed to get some of that out of us. We as a coaching staff have to figure out who we can go to where, try to exploit some things and get some guys baskets that they can make and not put in people in positions. Like that one time I put Kyle Arns at the point to do something, and that was completely my fault. It's only water. Cheap suit anyway. It was totally my fault, and that's a case of putting somebody in a position to fail instead of putting someone in a position to be successful. So I will, they made their mistakes, I made my mistakes. We'll all try to regroup and see what we can do this weekend.
Real quick to address the cheap suit comment from Tom Izzo. Tom, you know, had a whoopsie and actually hit his water bottle and water spilled on his suit, and he just looked at it and said, cheap suit anyway. So that was pretty comical. But you heard there. I mean, if he could play Cassius Winston 40 minutes, he would, because he understands just how much he needs Cassius right now. It's a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and Cassius is going to continue to try and will his team to victory game in and game out. Real quick, I do also want to play a follow-up question to that response on needing Cassius Winston, because this is what separates the good from the great players. Those who can understand the moment when nothing else is working for your team, understanding that I need to make something happen and then go out there and execute. Here is Tom Izzo on Cash's understanding the moment.
I told him that at halftime. I said, this is what player of the year candidates, this is what All-Americans, this is what you do now. You know, we got to go on your back a little bit here till we get everybody else regrouping. And then when we started to get guys to get to the boards and we ran a couple things, got a couple of those slips. I mean, we executed some really good things. Some of them were just put on the chalkboard because we had to change as we were going just because of the personnel we had in there. So I give my players a lot of credit. I gave them a lot of guff tonight. I gave them a lot of credit after the game. That's kind of the way it works. But Cassius was sensational at times, as you said. And he was sensational beat up. I mean, he turned that one ball over late in the game. I said, are you kidding me? I said, are you dead? He said, yes. I said, well, you can be dead in a minute from now, but not till then. And he agreed. And we do have, you know, I think that with all those guys, you know, when you go through stuff, whether it's with Nick, whether it's with Cassius, everybody grows together. And I thought, you know, I feel like he's really starting to understand what he's got to do. And a little more demonstrative on calling a play or the defensive stuff. But, man, I mean, I'm asking him to do everything except this press conference right now. And somehow I'm going to convince him that that's a privilege, not a problem.
I got one simple question, Kyle. When you evaluate the production of Cassius and you look at his minutes, and you look at his minutes last night, he played 36 minutes last night. Matt McQuaid actually was the leading minute getter last night. He played 37 minutes for Michigan State, but Cassius is averaging, you know, 36, 37 minutes. He's knocking on the door 40 every single night. How much longer can Cassius keep this up?
You almost wonder. I think the Langford injury and now the Ward injury kind of play into this thing. I think the whole team kind of, I get the sense that this entire lineup, 1 through 9, 10 guys, they know that if he plays to his top potential, they're a Final Four, they're a national championship contender. If he I think that the team level of experience, they've got such a – they feed into him. As he goes, they go. If Cassius Winston can make a play like he did the one that tied the game with Matt McQuaid, mm-hmm. McQuaid hits that three, that's him repaying Cassius for making those moments of magic. Some of those plays in that second half, we were talking after that game.
Yeah, we were.
Individual plays.
That layup, I think you and I specifically, we were talking about that layup the Cassius made.
In transition.
One of the best plays I've seen in person. I mean, crossover, goes to his right hand, and the layup that he threw up, the release point, what was halfway, like near his shoulder, hits high glass, goes in. Crowd goes nuts. I couldn't believe, and it was play after play after play, time and time again last night. For me, Kyle, I don't know how long I can keep this up though. I just look at this kind of production, and we all know this team will go as far as he goes. You know, and you know he admitted last week that he's tired. You know, and you look at how Michigan State. I'll just say this. You can have a kind of a first half that Michigan State had last night against a team like Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come out and have that kind of a start to a game against bigger and better competition, i.e. Michigan, come this Sunday, you will lose. And that's the thing that just worries me about this team. I don't know what it is about the starts to these games. I think some of it is Cash is trying to start off slow, maybe taking it easy because he knows he's going to have a long night, so he's trying to pace himself. And the help or lack thereof that he's getting in those moments, it forces him to wake up and have to pull off something spectacular.
I'll answer your question, though. I think the more help he gets from guys like Matt McQuaid, Aaron Henry, mm-hmm. the longer he'll be able to keep running at the pace he is. Because when I believe it was Indiana, you saw him try to make a whole lot of offense on his own because the shots weren't falling elsewhere. That's when MSU gets into trouble.
I mean,
they're already in trouble having to play him 37 minutes a night in the first place.
Yeah.
But try and get him into an overtime situation like that against Indiana, it's not a winning formula.
I will say this, too. I was a bit surprised last night. It went from a 10-man rotation to about...
7 or 8.
Like a 7 or 8, exactly. We didn't see big moments from players like a Marcus Bingham. I think Marcus came in like
7 guys with 10 minutes or more.
Right. You know, and you look at Marcus. I mean, I think Marcus came in that first half. Yeah, he only had 2 minutes. Foster Lawyer, 2 minutes. Gabe Brown, 2 minutes. With the starters, in addition to Thomas Kithier and Kyle Arons, that was basically it for Michigan State. But, you know, they got the job done. I want to play a snippet now from Izzo addressing the starts to games and him needing some brave heart halftime speech to wake his team up. He addresses that along with another injury, a reoccurring one for his team.
That was a result of halftime. You know, I'm getting tired of having to be Newt Rockne at halftime. So we got to do a better job. You know, I think we're going to have halftime at the beginning of the game, and then I'll have another halftime at halftime. So that'll be a good thing. But I think we're a little bit disheveled. You know, it looked like everybody was. I said we were going to get him 2 points here, 2 points there, 4 points here, 3 rebounds here, and it looked like everybody wanted to show that they could be the guy. Took a couple bad shots, made a couple bad plays. And I understand that. I mean, we made a couple of bad defensive switches because we had a couple guys in there that just never play together. So it's going to be, you know, we're going to have to live with a little bit of that. But the second half, we played harder and played through it. And it was a difference, you know. So whatever they thought of halftime, it was better.
Did Kyle Arons aggravate his back?
Yep. I don't know anymore, but yep, tried to put him back in, couldn't go back in.
If you couldn't hear the question asked by the Associated Press's Larry Lage, he asked whether or not Kyle Arons re-aggravated his back, and you could just feel the aggravation. You could feel the frustration and anger coming from that podium. Izzo just gave a yep, looked around the room, said yep again, and said, I just know he couldn't go back in. So we don't know about the status of Kyle Arons now. He has been dealing with that back injury throughout the season, which is, it's just, That's sports, right? And in just a minute, talking about injuries, we'll talk about the biggest injury, not just in the world of college sports, but in sports. This sports in general. This sent shockwaves throughout the sporting world last night. I'll get to that later. But injuries happen. That's my point. Injuries happen, and Michigan State right now just has to weather the storm, at least until they can get Nick Ward back. Before we hit this final break and get final thoughts from Kyle, I do want to play what Cassius Winston had to say in the locker room. Just a brief snippet from Cassius and also Xavier Tillman. We'll start with Cassius, and I asked him a direct question when it comes to what the conversations have been like between him and Tom Izzo about the amount of responsibility that he now has being the guy for this team. Cass, can you elaborate on those conversations? I know Izzo is leaning on you now. I mean, with you know, Josh being out for the season, Nick being down now. What have those conversations been like in practice before the game?
Just me, you know, taking it to a whole nother level. You know, I got a higher ceiling. It's more that I can reach, a higher potential that I can reach, and he's gonna push me every day. This whole week he's been pushing me. If he catch me slipping a little bit, he's on me. If he catch me not playing, doing things, you know, that I usually don't do, he's on me. Today in the game, he was on me the first half. Just, you know, all the type of things I can give to this team, and he pushing me to that level.
What's that pressure like?
I wouldn't even say it's pressure. You know, a challenge maybe. A challenge is always a challenge. Always, you know, I can always get better. It's always something more that I can accomplish. And, you know, just makes you hungry, make you reach for more.
I love that mindset. Cassius Winston not bothered by the amount of pressure. He sees it as a challenge, and he is trying to step up to that challenge. He's doing a nice job of that, at least right now. Here's Xavier Tillman on his performance last night, stepping up in the absence of Nick Ward.
The coaches did a really good job just telling us, or telling me and telling us, like, it's going to come from little parts. Not one person is going to step up and just take his points and take his rebounds, but everybody's going to have to do a little more. Like, Coach told me how to get, like, I want to say, like, 12 points and 10 rebounds a night now. Kenny had to do the same thing, 12 and 10. Quetto had to step up a little bit more. But everybody just had to step up a little bit more when the freshmen come in. They got to do a little bit more on the boards and finish their opportunities that they get at the rim. So those kind of things. It wasn't like one person had to step up, but collectively, if we can all step up, we'll be good. Very, 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 very comfortable. I think I got comfortable by, like, the end or the middle of my freshman year. Just to know everything, how coaches, how the assistant coaches are, what we expect out of each other. When we recruit, what's our pitch to other recruits? So, I'm really comfortable in our system and know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
Again, Xavier Tillman after the Michigan State win over Rutgers last night. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. There's also a few of you weighing in on Facebook at facebook.com/WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. I said final break earlier. First break. When we come back, we'll talk about an injury that sent shockwaves throughout the college basketball world last night and what it means for the future of this player and more. Got a few thoughts on this injury. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. One comment coming in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News I want to get to. Mike says, hopefully Kenny Goins will get some more points than last night. He did lead the team in rebounds. I think it's encouraging because Rutgers is a pretty good rebounding team, Kyle. And Michigan State was still able to out-rebound Rutgers. I believe it was like 45-31.
And the other thing was they're going without another big man in there.
Right. Exactly.
And Ward.
Exactly. And very impressive rebounding performance from Michigan State last night. Again, as you just stated, without Nick Ward. And Kenny Goins, yeah, he kind of struggled.
You know, and what I've realized with Kenny, have you realized something when he shoots?
Hits one three and he's good to go.
Well, this is the thing. The position of where he takes those threes, if he shoots a corner three, it's a brick.
In the wing.
Whenever he's wing on the wing or at the top, it's money every single time. And it happened again last night. He had a corner three and almost airballed the thing. So
he hits that one against Wisconsin a couple weeks ago, or I guess that's last week. How much do you trust him now?
Right? I trust Kenny.
Say in March when he comes up and it's time for him to hit a shot. What do you think?
It depends on where he's at on the floor. If he's in the corner, nah, I'm not putting my money down on that, brother. But, you know, if he's on that wing, he'll knock that down. He was 2 of 7 last night. Finished with just 5 points, but as Mike just noted, 12 rebounds for him.
Well, on Sunday, they're going to need all the role guys anyways.
Exactly. You are. You really are. And I think you're going to need a little bit more from Thomas Kithier as well. That was a big name that everybody was pegging to step up because Nick Ward is out. He played 10 minutes. Not really impactful, though. 2 points for him. He was 1 of 1 from the floor.
Some big guys down there for Rutgers, though.
I think
that's what's going to be dependent on is how much, with his production at least, is who he's going up against.
Definitely. Okay. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Got to get to this story. And I believe we have a soundbite from last night because, you know, I told the story. We were sitting there in the media room, and they had the game on of Duke and North Carolina, and I looked to my right, and I was watching it, and I'm like, what is going on? Because Zion was on the bench. I didn't see the injury at first. He was on the bench, and the training staff was working on him, and I'm like, whoa, this game just began. What is happening here? And it wasn't until after Kyle and I, we finished the interviews, and I did my stand-up, and I'm back at the station editing, that I see the highlight, or low light, I should say, of the injury that took Zion Williamson, the name in college basketball. It wasn't until then that I saw the injury that took him out. We have a sound bite from that moment. Here we go.
Against one of the best rebounding teams in the country in North Carolina.
Zion went down. Looked like he hyperextended his leg. He is down, slipped. Why? Perhaps some perspiration on the floor.
His shoe blew apart. Dribble advance instead of a pass advance.
Zion Williamson, as you can see, heading to the locker room right now for the Blue Devils.
Folks, Zion Williamson completely blew up his Nike sneaker 33 seconds into the Duke Blue Devils game with rival North Carolina last night. First off, we were cracking some jokes after the, you know, during that moment, Kyle, not because of the injury to Zion Williamson, but because of just the entire moment and gravity of it, right? Because some tickets in that game last night, guys, were like Super Bowl ticket prices. You know, $3,000. I saw one ticket that went for a little over $4,000, all because of course, Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson, the most hyped prospect in the game of basketball since LeBron James. I mean, for goodness sake, you had former President Barack Obama in the house to watch that game last night. But Zion, he makes a move. The sneaker tears from, the top center all the way to the heel. And there's a funny, what do you call it, GIF, whatever you want to call it, GIF. Isn't GIF peanut butter? I'm probably
GIF.
Saying that. It's a GIF. Okay, GIF. Yeah, GIF is peanut butter. I had some peanut butter this morning, Jack. GIF, it's a GIF. And there's a funny GIF going around in which the moment it happened, President Barack Obama, did you see what Obama was called on video saying?
Oh, he broke Obama, his shoe or broke, something like that.
His shoe broke is exactly, you can read the lips of Obama. He points to Zion on the court because there's a shot of Coach K on the sidelines. And then you see Obama in the background, and Obama points, and you can read his lips, and he says his shoe broke. Just one of the weirdest injuries you'll ever see. So there's two conversations that I want to just briefly hit on here. One, this looks incredibly bad for Nike. So I'm going to attack this from the business side first. Nike, I know Nike has released a statement. I saw it actually flash on my phone like minutes before we took the air today to do current sports, and I do have it. Just a small snippet of the official statement from Nike, because he was wearing Nikes
when it happened, when the Nike sneaker blew up. I believe they were like, to be specific, they were like Paul George basketball shoes. Paul George of Oklahoma City Thunder's.
A Nike shoe is a Nike shoe.
And it's a Nike shoe. Yeah, they were PG, whatever, PG-13s, whatever they are. And Nike released a statement saying, quote, "We want to wish Zion a speedy recovery. While this is an isolated occurrence, we are working to identify the issue." I think somebody got fired today because these sneakers weren't just on John Smith on Duke's roster. These sneakers, these Nike sneakers, were on the biggest basketball prospect in the world.
In the biggest
Zion
game
Williamson.
Of the year.
In the biggest game of the year, Duke and North Carolina. So, you know, if you're Nike, this is like Armageddon right now. You know, few people, maybe other than Zion Williamson and his knee, are feeling worse than Nike executives right now, because this seemingly defective shoe will dominate headlines at least until Zion returns to the lineup. And, you know, Sonny Vaccaro, who is really like the name when it comes to shoe companies and the relation that shoe companies have in the game of basketball. You know, there's a really interesting 30 for 30 on the life of Sonny Vaccaro. But Yahoo Sports talked with Sonny Vaccaro. And Sonny basically was quoted in saying, "They are going to show this until we die." So the competitors of Nike, you know, like Adidas, like Puma, they are feeling so good about this because, as we all know, in the business of sports, in the business of basketball, if you are a shoe company and you can land a big prospect to market your shoe, that's directly going to lead to great marketability and more money in your company's pockets. You know, that we've seen in the NBA, folks. I mean, it stemming back to when Michael Jordan came out with his first sneaker. So Nike is in the running. And, you know, Puma had some fun with this. Puma quickly deleted this. It was kind of a classless tweet. Quote, "Would not have happened in Pumas." That is what came from the Puma Twitter account last night. Also, Celtics point guard Terry Rozier, he joined in last night tweeting, "Come to Puma," before quickly adding that he didn't know Zion Williamson was injured. And at the very least, those tweets underscored what's at stake for Williamson's shoe deal. So Nike, though, is still the brand in sports. It's still the brand in shoe deals. So I wouldn't be surprised if Zion does still sign with Nike, but this is a very, very bad look. The next question, this is a question I want to have before we hit our final break here. Should Zion Williamson shut it down and not play another play of college basketball? Because right now, for me, I'm done. If I'm Zion, I am not playing another play. He's got too much at stake, folks. First off, this is the NCAA. They don't pay its college athletes. It's not Zion. It's not like Zion is out there making money to go out there and win games for the Duke Blue Devils. I have long now been an advocate for NCAA athletics paying college athletes, especially those who are directly bringing in dollars to you, your university. You think that if Zion Williamson was not on that roster for Duke, people would be clamoring to pay $4,000 for tickets to watch the Blue Devils in North Carolina Tar Heels? No, this is all about Zion Williamson. If something like this happens, and we're very lucky, Zion is very lucky that this is just a sprained knee and not something more serious. Can you just imagine if this was a torn ACL, jeopardizing his basketball future, jeopardizing millions, literally millions of dollars? Why in the world would you play another play for the Duke Blue Devils after a scare like this? If I'm Zion, I'm sitting out. I am finito. Do we have that bite? Can we play the finito bite? I don't know if we got that queued up, but at some point we gotta cue that one up. Finito, folks, because it makes no sense whatsoever. Kyle, you're in here live in studio with me. If you are Zion Williamson, do you think the brother should play basketball again this season? Because, again, I'm shutting it down if something like this happens to me.
I have a counter, and we don't have the sound bite, obviously, but on some level, he does want to play for Duke. He does want to play for Coach K. He came to
want
Duke
and
for
should,
a reason.
Though, are two different conversations.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. If it's if you're talking straight for him from a business,
from a standpoint,
from a
that's where I'm coming. That's where I'm
that's
tackling
fine.
This from.
That's fine.
Yeah, sure. Of course he doesn't want to let his teammates down like Cam Reddish and RJ Beard and
think
those guys down.
There is a certain level of... And the part that gets me is all these people now all of a sudden, oh, well, he shouldn't even think about playing there in the first place. He should just go right pro. I get the whole idea of the one and done rule is bad, but on some point, all this hand wringing over, oh, just because he got the injury means people have to speak up about this now. Everyone knows the NCAA needed to play their players. It doesn't take an injury to make that kind of happen.
It puts it in your face, though.
It does
especially
put it in your face.
A player of this magnitude. So if I'm Zion, I have this kind of scare, man. It's like, I think it just kind of wakes you up. It's like a slap in the face. It's a cold cup of water in your face because it wakes you up and makes you say, man, my career and all this money and all this hype could go out the window in the snap of a finger. And what am I doing it for? I'm playing for the Duke Blue Devils. I'm not getting paid. Why should I risk it? So that's the big thing I'm talking about.
The number one sports website I go to, SBNation.com. The headline on their top billing right now is the one, it gets me, I don't know why, but it's six reasons why Zion Williamson's injury should change the way we talk about sports. The guy got hurt in a game. I get he's the number one prospect. I get he's this big-time athlete who's going to go on and make millions of dollars in the NBA, but guys get hurt.
It comes down to whether or not.
It's a freak injury.
If he was getting paid, I would probably have a different perspective on this. But the fact that he's getting nothing. Literally, he could not play another play, Kyle, and still be the number one overall draft pick in the NBA. That's the goal for him. And he should be. And he should be. So why should he bust his tail off for the NCAA's Duke Blue Devils that don't give him, where he gains nothing for going back out there? Real quick, because we're short on time here. I know Alec Rio, I don't know Jack Kerwin behind the glass as well. If you guys want to quickly weigh in on this before this final break, Jack. On you.
I love the scholarship debate, too.
Yeah, well, the scholarship debate, too. Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, no, if I were Zion Williamson, I wouldn't risk injury. Again, kind of like what Nick Bosa did at Ohio State for football this year. Pretty similar to me, honestly. And as a Michigan State fan, I would really love if Zion Williamson doesn't play the rest of the year. So that's pretty much all I got to say on that.
I'm sure, right? So you're so selfish, Jack. No, I get it. I totally understand that. Real quick, Alec, would you ever play another play after something like this happens to you when you're Zion Williamson?
Finito.
Current sports, this is Jack.
Yeah,
is it?
No. To me, it's not worth it. There's just too much money,
yeah, give me
too much of the hype. You know, it's too risky for me because you got someone like Zion who's had equal as hype in high school and, you know, growing up as LeBron James did. Just imagine if this happened to LeBron, like if he would have went to college at Ohio State or something, coming out of St. Vincent St. Mary. I'm pretty sure it has the same implications, you know?
Yeah. I think Jay Billis, you know, he really put it very simple, and I think these words speak a lot. A blown shoe and an injured right knee. All right, we got to hit this final break. Ray, I see you. We'll come back, finish up. We'll get the thoughts of Ray from Indiana as we put to close this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. 4 minutes left. Let's go to our phone lines right now. Line one, Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up, man?
Go, Spartans! Beat the ball, please!
I knew that was coming. But, you know, Michigan has to handle business tonight, though, which they probably will do.
Yeah, I know. Go Gophers! Gophers!
Let's be real here, Ray. I mean, you want to see Michigan win tonight, right, so that everything's on the line come Sunday, right?
No. We need some more losses for Johnny and his chocolates.
You'll never root for Michigan, I know.
Hey.
Yeah.
I thought you guys were going to get beat by Rutgers last night. That first half was pathetic. If you guys don't play better when you play the bullies, I don't think you can beat them.
You know, that's what I stated in our first segment, Ray. I think that if you can get away with the first half like that against Rutgers, but if you play a team like the caliber of Michigan, if you come out the first half like that against Michigan, you will get beat. So Izzo noted after the game that he has to figure out a way to give a halftime speech before the game that riles up his team, because he can't explain what's happening with these slow starts.
I'll tell you what, Duke's dead in the water if they can't talk that kid to coming back in and playing basketball for him in the tournament.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you, right? We just had this conversation real quick here. Do you think if you're Zion Williamson, the number one overall NBA draft pick, something like that happens to you, would you play another play for the Duke Blue Devils?
I don't know. It's a tough call. I can see the point either way, but you know, if you're competitive and you're healthy, you know, you want to help your team win a national championship. There's nothing wrong with it. You're never going to get another chance to do it.
Yeah, I hear that. But again, if you're the number one overall pick and you got millions on the line and something like that happens, nah.
Yeah, I know.
It's worth it.
It's a tough call either way, but I tell you what, that team that makes that tennis shoe, they better get their act together.
That's Nike. That's the biggest shoe company in the world, which is very, yeah, very surprising. So
it goes to show you what happens when you got human beings doing it.
Yeah. All right,
see
Ray.
You,
Ray from Indiana. You know, I didn't know this either. Did you know Sunday, Alec, Michigan will be honoring the 1989 Michigan basketball team, celebrating the 30th anniversary of that 1989 national championship team?
I had no idea. No idea, honestly.
Yeah. I'm wondering, because Steve Fisher will be back, who was the coach of that team. I'm wondering if Jalen and Chris C-Webb will be back for that. I don't know. I haven't seen any word about that, but I'm hoping they do return. I don't think we've seen those two in the same building in a long, long time. So, but at least Steve Fisher will be back. I haven't seen Steve Fisher in years. All right. Great show. Much thanks to Kyle Turk. We, again, Jack Kerwin, Alec Rio behind the glass. Ray, thanks for calling. Everybody who weighed in on Facebook, much love to you all. We'll be back at it same time, same place, on the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. In the meantime, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.